This is WordPress Weekly, the show dedicated to all things WordPress. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Sarah Gooding.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 155 of WordPress Weekly for Friday, July 25th, 2014. I am your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by the illustrious Sarah Gooding. Sarah, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing great. I just got my vegetable peeler in the mail. I call it a zoodler, so I'm going to make vegetable noodles this weekend. I'm really excited.
Well, I've heard people getting excited over some crazy things, but a vegetable peeler? I mean, is this something you've been really, really wanting? Or?
Yes, but I never just sat down to get one, so now I have one, and I'm gonna go nuts making vegetable noodles.
Well, that sounds awesome. I'm feeling better. A little bit under the weather this week, but I'm feeling better now today. Just a lesson out there for all you remote workers. Don't know how many of you listen to this show, but if take a break every once in a while. If you're working for 8 hours in front of a monitor and screen, you know, it's not the end of the world if you don't get all your work done within a 15-hour period. You know, shut everything down, take a break, take a nap, go to sleep. You know, give your body a break. I found out the hard way what happens when you work 13, 14 hours straight. It's the body does not like it, you know, especially the way I do it with this stupid computer chair. Anyways, that's what's going on in our lives of WordPress. We got a couple of news stories we want to talk about, get you updated on the news. And the first is a plugin I just recently discovered thanks to Sarah Gooding's post, except it's been around for 4 years. And the news post basically describes how the plugin will no longer be developed. It's going to be open source and available on GitHub. It's called Heavy Analytics. And it's a was released in January of 2011. The project was created by Toby Kranz and Eric Johnson. And what it was supposed to be BuddyPress, WordPress, and multi-site analytics tool. And I thought it was cool because it shows you posts published, comments approved, users registered. There was all these different WordPress-specific or BuddyPress-specific things that you can monitor. And so it was really easy to sort of monitor where you would get the highest engagement, specifically on the site. Unfortunately, the project's not... would you consider it dead or not dead? It's not gone.
It's on GitHub, so somebody can take it and run with it if they want to. It's a pretty interesting idea that nobody's really doing. Or, I mean, there are maybe a few plugins that do this kind of thing, but you have to put them all together. So, I don't know. Hopefully somebody will grab a hold of this project and take it somewhere new.
Yeah, as you mentioned, it probably requires some work for whoever forks it on GitHub to get it to work with the latest versions of WordPress, because it's only been tested up to 3.8.1, which actually isn't too far back.
Yeah, it isn't. But I mean, if you look at those screenshots, they're really the old dashboard. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, the graphics and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're interested in forking that and creating really something, as Sarah mentioned, something I have not seen yet on, you know, an all-in-one package analytics program specifically to monitor actions within WordPress or BuddyPress, it's available there on GitHub. We'll have a link to that in the show notes. Now, something we talked about last week on the show, Sarah and I were discussing how it's difficult to find videos in different languages on WordPress.tv, specifically German videos. But now we have news that they are seeking a bilingual moderator to help expand international coverage. I didn't know about this, but there's a WordPress.tv moderator squad, which is pretty cool. But they've been busy updating the site and setting new goals. And within the past 30 days, or a little more than that, the team has published 89 new videos in 8 different languages, representing 14 WordCamps from around the globe. So it looks like they're taking you up on your offer, and they're looking for more people to add to their team to expand on the adding different languages to WordPress.tv.
Yeah, and they also added a browse by language navigation to the sidebar on the WordCamp TV page. So you can go there and look up videos with under different languages. They're just a lot easier to find now, so that's cool. And they want to get people with more language skills. I think they already have a few, or else I don't know how they would be publishing the videos that they already do, but I think they already have a few, and they're trying to add more people who can speak multiple languages. And somebody said in the comments that one of the best ways to contribute is if you can listen to a video in another language and put the captions on there.
Yeah, subtitles.
Yeah, the subtitles.
Captions. And they actually have the tools to do that, I think, right on WordPress.tv.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually a session on WordPress.tv that says using Amara.org to caption or subtitle a video. So there's mm-hmm. actually a video on WordPress.tv that explains how to add subtitles. So that's really cool. And I imagine that you're going to get props for the suggestion of browsing by language. I don't know. I mean, I guess they listened to the show or something.
Oh, I don't know. I think they read the blog and they took a hint. And that's cool.
So applications are open to anyone with basic familiarity with WordPress. According to Bates, who's one of the lead members of the team, they're looking for a time commitment of just 1 to 3 hours per week, and contributors will have the chance to put their language skills to use while expanding WordPress.tv's library of international resources. So if you're interested in that, applications are open. Go over there and have fun and help the videos expand their reach beyond just English-speaking videos. That's pretty cool. Now, here's a service. It's called WP Core, and it's sort of similar to others like WP Faves, WP Roller, in that it allows you to create collections of plugins, you know, mark them as favorites, and you can install them all at once. But we have an article where the WP Core, the plugin manager, has actually added favoriting and custom plugins to the collection. So you wrote about this not too long ago. What is WP Core, and how does it work?
Essentially, there's a website where you can go and add all your favorite plugins to your account, to different collections, and then you'll be able to take the key for that collection and put it into your WordPress site with the WP Core plugin on there, and it'll just automatically bring all those plugins in and install them in one click, which is really cool because, you know, there's some people who build a lot of WordPress sites, or they'll make a lot of basic sites for different clients, and they use the same plugins, and then every time they make one, they have to sit down and, you know, remember the plugins that they use and then add them all one by one. So this is a big time saver. And now that they've added plugins that are not hosted on WordPress.org, you can put just about anything in there to make your own custom installation profile. So it's pretty cool.
And one of the cool things about this site is that you can see collections created by other users, and each collection has a unique key. And if you use that key, which is available to the public by default, I believe, you can actually use that key and install collections created by other members of the community. So I think that's a neat aspect of the service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can make private ones or public ones, and then if you browse around, you can see some of your friends' collections and, you know, get some inspiration from those and even use theirs.
So, of course, the question is, when will we see something like this on WordPress.org? And I actually showed this service, or at least talked about it, and showed some other ones at the local WordPress meetup I attended last night. Boy, you should have seen the eyes light up, like, oh, man, that's a really cool idea. So I was showing them these different services, and I said, yeah, you know, at some point, you know, we already have the ability to mark plugins as favorites on the WordPress.org plugin directory, but you can't install them as a bundle and things of that nature. I think it's just a matter of time. I think that's definitely on the roadmap to have that type of functionality on .org and perhaps make those bundles and favoriting and collections more social. But it's going to be a while in the making. But until then, it's nice to see that there's about 4, 5, 6 different services sort of utilizing the idea and presenting different ways to go about it. And so far, I've seen some pretty cool implementations of the idea, and WP Core is just one of those.
Yeah.
So Gavik Pro. Gavik Pro is a commercial theme. It's actually a unique theme shop. They've been involved with both Joomla and WordPress, And each theme they have produced is for both platforms. And up until recently, every WordPress theme that Gavert Pro had developed was based on the Gavern WordPress framework, which was designed to match its Joomla counterpart and functionality. They've recently announced that they will no longer be using their Gavern WordPress framework and instead will be utilizing the customizer as the baseline for their future themes. So I think that's just a really great idea. I think it's just a win-win situation for them because it's less work on their part. They can utilize things that are built in right into WordPress, and it's less for them to maintain overall.
Yeah, I agree. I've actually used some of their themes before, just in testing. And they have really beautiful designs, but they're really difficult to set up. You have to put all these widgets together, and there's all these options. And it just is kind of frustrating to try to make a site look like the demo. And even, you know, having a strong familiarity with WordPress, I had a difficult time trying to set up one of their themes. So I'm excited to see that this will probably take them in a new direction and help their new customers get on board with their themes faster and easier. So, yeah, I think it's a great idea for them. They're very well known in the Joomla world, but I think they're kind of on the outer edges of WordPress. People don't know about them as much as some of the other bigger players.
Now everyone would know about them because the Tavern wrote about them.
That's right.
So everyone would know about them. But this is actually part of a larger trend where even the folks at ThemeFurnace and Array Themes, they've also ditched custom options frameworks and are betting heavy on the WordPress customizer. And I think we're going to see that more and more often as we go along here. And it's just, I mean, if you're a theme developer, if you're a theme shop, I don't understand why you would continue to maintain code on creating these option panels and everything else when now you could just have everything right there in the customizer. And with the addition of panel support and things being contextual and WordPress 4.0, it's really going to open up a lot of doors and options, pun intended, for theme developers.
Yeah, I think they have a lot of education to do, though. For all the theme developers out there, they're going to have to learn how to work with the customizer, and that may be a hurdle for a lot of people because they've been doing it with their own options, you know, framework forever, and it's tough to change all your themes.
Mm-hmm. And they're currently revamping their documentation to point out what to do with the WordPress theme customizer. So if you're using Gavert Pro, in fact, any listeners out there, if you're using a theme by Gavert Pro and you're utilizing the customizer, I'd be curious to hear what your thoughts are. You can send us an email at the wptavern.com contact form. You can see a link for it at the top of the site. Get in touch with us. Let us know your experience with using a Gavert Pro theme utilizing the customizer.
Even if you're not a customer, they've got a free theme that they put out to show how they're using the customizer.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, you can check that free theme out and see how you like it.
And it's called Perfetta,
mm-hmm.
Which sounds like a cheese to me.
Yeah, me too. I was just thinking that.
Perfetta. Isn't there a cheese that sounds like Perfetta? There is a cheese, I think.
Feta, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, okay. Well, there you go, Feta. But that's why. Anywho, so Automattic, a few months ago, back in, I don't know, March maybe, Tony Snyder created a post on a Gravatar blog and wanted to know if they were going to create a Gravatar mobile app and which platform should they develop on first. And surprisingly to me, I guess maybe I shouldn't be surprised, but Android won out. Congratulations, Sarah. You're an Android device
Yay.
User. And Android won out. So they've been working on this Gravatar mobile app for a few months now. And I've been trying to ask people, what is it? I've been trying to get some inside information. Nobody knows what's going on. I have no idea what this Gravatar app entails. But they've recently released a side project or side effect of developing a Gravatar mobile app called Selfies. And I got to tell you, my first reaction to this is, are you kidding me? Why? You know, this is not something I typically, you know, would expect to see them release. And what it is, it's available on Android first, and you're able to you have an Android device, so you used it. What's the experience like? What can you do?
Well, basically, it pops up, and it encourages you to, like, take a selfie right away. And then it lets you put different – I think there's 8 different filters, and there's rotation, and I think you can blur. Just some sort of Instagram-like features. And then you can add a caption and post it to a public stream where people can send their reactions to your selfie. So, like, when I posted this Greyhound selfie, people posted back pictures of their dogs, which was kind of cute.
Now, wait a minute. You posted that or did – no.
Yeah, the dog got a hold of my phone and posted a selfie because he was so excited about the new app. Oh, so boy. Then other people's dogs were like, well, yay, Labrador selfie, you know. So that was fun. It is a fun app.
I get that. It's fun. It's lighthearted. It's just a project, side project. Hey, this is what we created. We had fun taking selfies. But, I mean, if it was released on April 1st, and it makes total sense to me, but I guess in light of, you know, this is a side project of the Gravatar app, but we still have no idea what the Gravatar app is going to be. Either I'm guessing that they're going to continue working on that.
I'm thinking it's probably, I mean, if I were to guess, I would think that it's just like, you know, Gravatar on your phone, easy to handle, easy to add a new picture from your library or take one and make it your Gravatar. And, you know, I'm sure it just makes it easy to do from your phone, which is where most people take their pictures anyways. But they won't reply to my comment on their blog because I was like, so is the real Gravatar app still in the works or, you know, but so they haven't approved my comment. So that I don't know. I don't know what's up either.
They're out of the office taking selfies right now.
Yeah.
So I noticed you, we've been getting some reaction, especially on Twitter, to the release of selfies. I know Rarst, he goes by the Twitter name of Rarst. He wondered why Automatic is using its highly skilled talent to democratize selfies, which I think is pretty funny.
Yeah, it's pretty cute. You know, because selfies don't have a very good reputation. People don't like selfies that much, or, you know, they're annoyed by them. There's a certain demographic who is into selfies, and then there are people who are just roll their eyes, you know. So I think you have to take the app as just something that's fun and a mobile experiment, and, you know, that's all it is. Because it isn't really a game-changing app. It doesn't do anything new that other apps don't do, and it can't compete with any of the other ones out there in the photo app space at this point, you know. So just take it for what it is. It's a fun app. And
as long as you look at it that way, then there's not too much to get upset about. There's not too much to scratch your head over. It's just a fun app. Here you go. We worked on it. Give it a shot and let us know what you think.
Yeah.
It's not like our investors paid us a lot of money and this is what we came up with. It's not like that at all. Thank goodness. Thank goodness. But I'm still curious, you know, and of course I think the whole idea of, well, Gravatar is usually an image. It's your global avatar. So I could see that they were probably developing a way, you know, you just take a picture of yourself and that becomes your Gravatar. Well, they must have been doing that all across the office and said, oh, you know, we could turn this into an app itself, the Selfies app. So I could see how that sort of came out of the development of Gravatar.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't change my Gravatar very often. So
neither do I.
I don't think anybody
I like my
does.
Picture.
Well, and you want people to be able to have consistency when they read, like, your comments on blogs and see your picture. You don't want to have it changing all the time, you know? So you want people to recognize you.
And one of my Gravatar is actually my wedding picture, and I think that's probably, like, the best I'll ever look in my life. So I'm never changing my Gravatar. And if I do, I'll turn it into one of those Blavatars, one of those weird-looking images.
I think your best days are ahead of you.
Well, I hope so. So one of the last things we want to talk about today on this week's edition of WordPress Weekly, if you have a Facebook account, there's a pretty cool group on Facebook called Advanced WordPress. And it's a group that has over now 8,000 members. And it's a place where you can go where it's like developers helping developers, or they talk about advanced topics. So security comes up, or somebody might need some help with some code, and they might need some help utilizing a function or a hook in WordPress. Sometimes you also see news topics or new product releases, or maybe somebody's developing a new product and you want some advanced users to do a demo of it. Now, I secretly use the group to get news on new products. Don't tell anyone. So, so it's worked out great for me that way. But so we talked about this. There's a for longtime listeners, you may remember. In fact, there's a mailing list called WP Hackers, and it's essentially the same idea, except you do everything via email. And I was a member of that group for a long time, and there's a lot of great discussions that happened on that list, but over time, it's just the nature of some people where they want to argue about the neediest, grittiest details, and you end up not making any progress. And they usually call that the bike shed argument, wondering, you know, what color it's going to be. You can argue about the color of the bike shed. And I actually left that list a long time ago, and boy, my email client is thankful for that, so is my stress level. But I recently found out that it's in doing some research, it's still active, and I was looking through the archive of threads, and it looks like there's a group of people there now utilizing the hackers mailing list that are, I don't know, more friendly to each other or more willing to agree to disagree without arguing ad nauseum.
That's good, because I also left the list maybe a few months ago. Mm-hmm. I stayed for a long time, but then I was like, I can't do it anymore.
I can't take it anymore. So there's also the WordPress development section of Stack Exchange, if you want to talk about advanced WordPress topics while also building up a reputation for your account. There's also the WordPress subreddit. There's also another subreddit called WordPress Professional. And let's see. That's about it in terms of what I know off the top of my head for advanced WordPress watering holes to talk about advanced WordPress topics. But there is a, I don't know how it got to be this way. There's a lengthy discussion in the comments on this post, just letting people know that there's a group that exists about whether or not it's a waste of time to have a group like this speaking about all these subjects on Facebook, because Facebook is a platform. You can't control anything. The group's feature is very limited. It doesn't have very much in the way of features as, let's say, a forum would have, where things mm-hmm. are threaded. You could find things in the archive a lot easier, and a pretty lengthy discussion. And my view is Facebook has about 11 billion people on it.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of people are. And it just, there's a lot of people that are comfortable with Facebook. That's where they get their news. That's where they communicate. That's where they comment. And it just so happens that there's this group, this nucleus of folks who love talking about advanced WordPress. And, 8,000 members, you know, it's nothing to sneeze at. And most of those people are lurkers, based on what I've seen. And I think that's probably the case for any type of group or even with the forums. Forums, there's a lot of lurkers who just like to read the replies, and there's this core group of active people. But I don't see any problem with having a group like this on Facebook. That's just where people congregate. That's where people, a group of them, feel comfortable with talking about those topics. I mean, and even the creators of this group have talked about creating a website to maybe try and move everything off of Facebook, and so that way they'll be in control. But you can't just take everybody from Facebook and move it to your site and hope that everybody, you know, makes the switch, because, as I said, a lot of people just enjoy the way Facebook works, and it's accessible for them, and you know, they just like the way things roll.
Yeah, I get that Facebook is a big part of some people's lives, but, you know, they have some very valid points as far as, like, all of these valuable discussions getting just lost forever, and they could be a really good resource for other people to read and check out. Even if they're not part of the community, they could, you know, find them by search engines or whatever. Like, I would fully support a mutiny of this group to take it to another location. But it's tough, because I do see the value of having it in a place like Facebook that people use all the time with their personal lives and stuff.
So this makes me, it makes me a little bit nostalgic, because as I've participated in this group on Facebook, it reminds me of the good old days of the, you know, I used to have a forum on WPTavern.com, and on that forum, we had a section for advanced topics, for just generalized topics, for themes, for plugins, and it was archived, a lot of great information. And by the way, for those listening who may know what I'm talking about, I've saved that information. I have it archived, so it hasn't been lost. It's just a question of whether or not if that will come back in a read-only archive, or if that would be part of a larger implementation, somehow maybe adding it on to if forums ever come back to WP Tavern. But I sort of wish I could have that forum again on WP Tavern, because I could cater those people. I could become that place where people like to hang out and talk about that stuff and have that friendly atmosphere. And right now, since we have no forum on the tavern, we can't do that. So they have to, you know, there's Facebook and there's this group and there's this group. I hope at some point in the future what I'd be able to do is we could have a forum and have that place where discussions are not lost, things are archived, you could search them up, and it becomes a great resource for today and into the future, instead of, you know, maybe being on Facebook or whatever. I would like the Tavern Forum to be that watering hole for all those different kinds of people that want to talk about all those different kinds of things.
Yeah, even BuddyPress could work pretty nicely in that scenario because of the built-in email notifications, and you can hook it up, you know, to make it an app and send push notifications.
And the whole idea of, I mean, the sky's the limit with activity threads.
Yeah, I think, activity, you know, streams. I like it better than Facebook because you get to keep all that information. But, you know, it's tough. It's tough to get people to use a social network that is not a big one. So,
all right. So that's sort of my take and my plans and my goals. We'll see what happens. But it would just be fantastic if the tavern somehow, some way in the future, it's like the beginning of a movie, becomes the watering hole. You know, the tavern. You know, everybody goes to the tavern to talk about WordPress stuff. That would be awesome. So that's going to wrap it up. That's what I have for this week in this week's edition. Short and sweet for this week. Next Friday, I put this together. In fact, it was supposed to be today. We had to postpone it for next week. But next Friday, we're going to have a roundtable discussion about crowdfunding. So I'll have Scott Kingsley Clark of Pods Framework, Nick Haskins of the Aesop Story Engine plugin and hosted service, and John Saddington of PressGram. All three of those gentlemen will be on the show next week to talk about their success stories with successfully crowdfunding their projects. We'll talk about their lessons learned. And we'll also talk about whether or not crowdfunding is a viable future for open source software development. So there's a couple of cool things we'll be talking about next week, all about crowdfunding, and that's going to be next Friday, August 1st at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. So I hope you'll join us live in the chat room for that. Other than that, you can find show notes for this episode and all previous episodes on WPTavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro. That's JeffrO0. And how about you, Sarah?
It's Polly Plummer, PollyPlummer. And that's where you'll be able to find pictures of my vegetable noodles that I make this weekend.
And occasionally Luca, the dog.
Yeah.
AKA Tailbait. So, until next weekend, everybody, have a safe and enjoyable weekend and stay safe out there.